Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me as he does for every Spoofhound Spotlight is Maryville R2 Superintendent, Dr. Logan Lightfoot. I don't want to say this is becoming the theme of Spoofhound Spotlight, but once again, long-range plan discussed at this month's Board of Education meeting, but some progress being made because you guys discussed a bid at this month's meeting.
We did, Jeremy. Approved a partnership with three different firms on various pieces of the project. We did, and of course, this is all pending if we go through and put a ballot initiative in April, and that's passed by our voters. But assuming we're able to do that and that's successful, we now have a construction management company that we're going to be working with. So J.E. Dunn, we're very excited about that. You know, big company, but a company that has a history which we're particularly pleased with in working with local trade partners, and that would be local trade partners around here, the St. Joseph area. You know, we really do, if we're going to do some great things with our facilities and do great things for our kids, we want to keep as many dollars as we can locally. And Dunn really provided not only a strategy, but also provided a strong history in other school districts and being able to do that. And so that really impressed our committee for sure.
Okay. And so what's next in the long-range plan? What are some of the next steps as we, you know, begin to inch closer to the end of 2023?
You bet. So we're really right now, we now have a construction manager that's kind of getting onboarded. So we'll work with them and our architects, and we've got our conceptual drawings. We've talked to our staff a little bit. So our next step is really making those conceptual ideas firmed up. And so, you know, do our drawings, can we actually make that happen in the construction process? Are there things that we really need to take a look at that might be concerning? Do we need to, you know, maybe make some changes here or there, that kind of thing? And really making those into more concrete plans and getting those ready to potentially push out a little bit. And we're going to, once that's all completed, I would anticipate about February or so, really pushing that out to our community and our parents and kind of showing them some of the exciting things that we're going to be able to do with, you know, with this project and how that really benefit our kids for years to come.
All right. So it looks like the community is going to get a real eye-opening look at what's going to be really going on. I know we've been talking about it and, you know, not really photos with audio, but it sounds like the community is going to be able to take a look at things by early 2024 in February.
You bet. And this is exciting stuff, right? You know, we're talking about things that'll, I mean, great improvements and enhancements to our facilities and really, you know, improving the experience of a K-12 Maryville education for our kids, and not just talking about for the next coming years, but for the next several years. And so, yeah, what an exciting time to be a part of this process and be a part of our community for sure.
And, you know, October, midway point kind of the fall semester, the school district and parent-teacher conferences going on. How are things overall?
It's an exciting time of year because you're right at the kind of the tail end of fall activities. Your first quarter's ended for students and you're kind of flipping over in that, you know, flipping seasons a little bit. And really, we've had a great first quarter in terms of academics. We've done very well with our kids have done very well in the classroom. We've really established, you know, some things that we put in new this year in terms of academic programming. We've had a chance to provide some additional supports, and those folks are really getting kind of used to working with kids and identifying kids that are struggling and really providing direct help with them. So that's always kind of that's always kind of a nice thing. Working with students at, you know, kind of the upper levels and making sure we challenge those students, that's always kind of a fun thing too. I'll have to mention this. We We have a Project Lead the Way, and I don't know, I think we've talked a little bit about that program in previous months maybe, but that's a high school program. We've got kind of a middle school version of that curriculum as well, but really it's a very hands-on engineering-based type of program. It can go into different types of fields, but we actually were able to, a couple of weeks ago, we had three high schoolers come over to our district office and present a project that, I mean, they built from ground up that involved architecture, that involved energy savings, where they essentially built a community and basically pitched their proposal to us. And just, I mean, sitting there from my seat and watching that, what an incredible thing. You had these three students that just dove right into this project and with, I mean, a little bit of guidance from their teacher, but largely being able to explore in those things, you know, that doing a lot of that themselves. And wow, I mean, just the opportunity to be able to have those kinds of things at our high school is really kind of, it's neat to see.
You know, other things that are kind of, I guess, neat in the district, or was something I saw looking through notes. Tell me about Spoofy Beans Mobile Catering.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about this. We have a great partnership with Nucor LMP. The folks out there have just been so kind to our district and to our students. The 108 family, and that's some of our special needs students that are able to get life skills types of experience. So experience working directly with, you know, how do you, you know, work with a cash register, how do you make coffee, all those kinds of things. They have something called Spoofy Beans, and it started several years ago where it started with our district staff. And so, and they still do this to where you can place an order on Wednesday, and on Friday morning they go around, they make your coffee, they make your drink, they deliver it to you. Nucor saw this. They actually went out to Nucor a couple of times and did the same thing for Nucor. And last November, December, Nucor made a very generous donation to our school district. And through that, we were able to purchase a trailer. And, you know, we talk about all the time on this about the power of the Maryville community and the power of us all working together. And this is just a prime example of that. So we found it. We found a trailer, and we were able to get, it was kind of an older trailer, but we took that over to Mr. Ingraham, who he was on the show, I think maybe last year. He's the director of Northwest Tech School. And he took that over to Auto Collision Repair, took that over to some of our folks over there and some of our programs that deal directly with working with cars, auto mechanics, that kind of thing. And they were able to actually wrap and finish this trailer and make it into a food trailer that our kids can actually, we'll be able to load up and take that trailer out to Nucor. And, you know, ever so often we'll be able to serve coffee out of that to Nucor. And just what a great opportunity. And we were so thankful for that and really had a neat experience. The kids didn't know all this, by the way. Like, we kept this a secret from the kids. We wanted to kind of surprise them. And so the Nucor had our 108 family out, and they had pizza, and we're kind of showing them a tour of the factory and everything. And we had pulled the trailer up, and the last stop is they came outside, and all the Nucor employees were out there, like, cheering them on. And they walked outside, and they saw this brand-new trailer. So really just a neat experience altogether.
Wow.
Yeah.
So was that going to, I mean, as you've emphasized, it's kind of evolved over the years, the Spoofy Beans. Is there kind of anything in the tailpipe, you know, past a mobile catering service?
Oh, we'll probably keep it small just because we have two teachers that the Bay twins, Mrs. Bay and Miss Bay, you know, they've got a full curriculum they work through each day, so we don't want to overcommit them or overcommit the program by any means. But that said, I think there's going to be neat opportunities for them to take it out and, you know, go to Nucor and provide coffee and that kind of thing. And I think it's going to be such a rich and great learning experience for our kids and our adults alike. So,
oh yeah. I, you know, hopefully someone listens to this and goes, I want Spoofy Beans to show up in my place.
That's right. Yeah. No, it's, to be able to watch our kids in that program, and those, most of those kids in our high school program have also been students in our life skills programs in middle school and elementary school. And just to hear stories from their parents about how much they've grown in the Maryville R2 system is just, it's awesome. And by the time they, you know, by the time they graduate high school, the skills that they've gained and how they're ready for employment and workplace is, I mean, that's very commendable. And that's 100% testament to the effort by our teachers and our staff.
Okay. And, you know, looking at the district as a whole, sometimes we don't talk enough about sports on here because I always feel like it's Matt Trenton's domain, who does Spoof Hound football every week that you can listen to. But, you know, speaking of football, it sounds like some audio issues are beginning to get fixed at the stadium.
Yes. So this is one we're pretty excited about. We, if you've made it out to the Hound Pound this year, or in the previous years even, we've had kind of an older audio system, and we've had some issues with it over the years. I know we had some issues with it last year as well. Had a chance with a very, very generous donation from our booster club, and we were able to get a brand new audio system there, and sounds wonderful. So everything from PA announcer's voice to music we play, things like that. Just another example of a way to make a great game day experience for our fans, but another example of ways that we kind of come together as a community to make things better around here.
Yeah, and, you know, I was looking at the notes, or I guess reports being filed by everyone in the school district, and I noticed something. There wasn't any kind of notes next to it, but what is 3D coaching?
I would love to talk about that because that is such a great program. So 3D or three-dimensional coaching, it's not new. It actually was a program that started by a coach at Florida State University. And Jeff Duke was a coach at Florida State. And kind of a neat story, he was having trouble. You know, he knew the X's and O's of football. And, you know, he just was having trouble connecting with his players. And kind of went back, and he had a psychology major in college, and he kind of looked back on some of his studies from psychology and just kind of rethought how he coached. And he kind of came up with this model of three-dimensional coaching, and it's more of a curriculum. It's classes basically that you take as a coach. And we as a school district we purchased the curriculum, and our coaches are actually going through this program right now. And wow, Jeremy, I will tell you, I have seen this program work in action before, and it is such a great way for coaches to build wonderful relationships with their kids and their athletes, but also create a great culture throughout our entire athletic department. And essentially, when you talk about the three dimensions of coaching, you know, dimension number one is the skills, right? You've got to sharpen the skills of your athletes and conditioning, those kinds of things. Dimension number two is their mind, and so you connect with them at an intellectual level, that kind of thing. But then that third dimension, which is really hard for a lot of coaches, just in terms of time and things like that, you connect with a player's heart and you connect with a player's emotions, and you make sure that that player knows that you care about them, and you make sure that that player knows that their team cares about them. And in addressing those three dimensions, you kind of create that culture throughout your entire team. And those three dimensions are stressed throughout your entire program. And so there are ways that we kind of go through that, and our coaches take classes on how to hone in on those three dimensions. And by the time they kind of quote-unquote graduate from it, they kind of become experts in how to implement the three dimensions of coaching. And so I'm excited for it. We had a group of coaches start earlier this school year. Our entire coaching staff, head coaches, are going through it right now. And, you know, during professional development days, we do some training on that. Our coaches do training on that. We really want to make it a common language and a common expectation at Maryville R2.
It sounds really great, and it's crazy to think that it can only improve what is already a really great sports program in the district, up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, it can the football team be better? I mean, yes, but it sounds like it will be through this.
You bet. And that's kind of the neat thing to watch about this. And I'm just going to tell you my perspective on it. We've got Maryville R2. We're in a unique place with our coaching staff, right? You know, you've got your, you know, I can name three or four coaches right now that have been in the district for several years, right? And have experienced great levels of success. You know, you can talk about girls golf, boys golf. You can talk about tennis. You can talk about football, you know, basketball, all those kinds of, you know, those kinds of coaches that have been here for a while. But we also have very, very young coaches too that are just getting into their careers. And so when you get that kind of mix of coaches and you can introduce a program like this, it's really a team concept, right? I mean, they all coach different sports, but if we can kind of come together and have common language and really common goals and a common vision on what we want our athletic department to become, man, we can only get better.
Do you know of any other nearby districts that do this? I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard of 3D coaching. I mean, I'm not a coaching expert of any kind of sort, but I've never heard of this kind of style, I guess.
Oh, you know, I there are some. I think St. Joseph has gotten into it. In fact, the West Simmons is one of the kind of one of the big drivers originally done. And former Bearcat, by the way, All American linebacker, defensive end, I believe, and a big proponent of three dimensional coaching. I actually used three dimensional coaching when I was a high school principal at West Platte, but. I see just such great benefit from it, but I look at our veteran coaches, and it's kind of interesting. You know, you talk about a Matt Weber, Matt Steckline, or Brenda Rex. I can go through all the names, but they really embraced this kind of program before they even knew the dimensions. And this is really kind of putting a little bit more purpose to it and being a little bit more intentional about bring our new coaches on board with it.
I'm probably butchering this, but I've heard from coaches, or not all coaches, but several coaches over the years, when they talk about what it's like coaching young adults, like high schoolers and all that, it's like, well, I'm not really, you know, coaching an athlete. I'm coaching a future adult. I'm working with them to become an adult, to become a, you know, better person, this and that. And that's really what it sounds like 3D coaching is also really about.
You bet. You hit the nail on the head. When you're working with high school students, I mean, they're wonderful, but they're high school students, right?
And yeah.
So there are so many life lessons to be learned through not only sports, but just, I would call it, extracurricular activities in general in high school. And I've talked about this on our show many times. One of the unique and really special things about Maryville R2 is the offerings we're able to give our kids, but the success behind those things. You know, we're able to put out great products and we're able to put out great teams because we have really, really dedicated adults that love what they do and they love kids.
Okay. Well, I guess that's really all I had written down for this month. Was there anything else going on in the school district you wanted to add?
Oh, we've got, I would be on the lookout in November. Speaking of activities, The Little Mermaid
is going to be our fall. I forgot about
that. That'll be coming out soon, so that should be fantastic. All district choirs in a couple of weeks, and we qualified a gaggle for that, and so that's another testament to Miss Parsons and our vocal music crew. I mean, we've got some very, very talented singers, and just exciting time to kind of wrap those things up as well.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that, and I guess we'll ask for your review of The Little Mermaid next month.
I will be ready. I will be the critic.
See how it matches up with, I guess, the other live action or other musical versions. Anyway, we'll go ahead and go to the second part of our show, which is Better Know a Superintendent. And it is spooky month. Halloween is coming up. And I think last year I asked you about your favorite and least favorite candy. And I was kind of thinking something in the same vein as Halloween. So what was your least favorite costume and your favorite costume? My least favorite was probably something my parents forced me to wear at some point. I think when I was four, they made me dress like a lion or something.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, though, and I'll try and keep this incredibly long story short, but I really loved shipwrecks as a kid. And so in 1992, Titanica came out, IMAX documentary about the discovery of the Titanic in 85, narrated by Leonard Nimoy. And so I just kind of fell in love with it. And so I think it was 94, 95, I dressed as a ship crewman for the Titanic. And I had like a little British box hat on and like a life preserver around my neck. And what really put the icing on the cake was Mother Nature, because it just poured rain the entire night. So every time I went to a door, And this was before cell phones or anything, but there would just be, oh my God, this mom going, the cutest thing ever. And just yelling into the house, Bill, get your camera.
That's awesome.
That would be probably my least favorite and favorite.
I like it. I know the answer to this one. Both of them can come right off the tip of the tongue. Least favorite, for sure. And it's not because of the costume, but maybe the events surrounding it. Our first, when we moved to Nebraska from Texas, a little bit of different climate, right? And our first Halloween in Nebraska, there was a blizzard. So the mayor postponed Halloween to like 2 days later. Like, so there wasn't a blizzard, but there was still, 4 feet of snow on the ground. And so I was in my costume. It was a ghost costume. And I remember walking, from door to door to get the candy. And I was in this ghost costume, but like couldn't feel my feet because I was walking through snow, to get candy. So that sticks out. Not that I didn't like the costume. I didn't like walking through 3 feet of snow. My favorite costume to this day, I was a huge professional wrestling fan as a kid. Like, that was my jam, right? When I was, I think I was 8 maybe, or 7 or 8 years old, Legion of Doom. I don't know if that rings a bell to you.
It does, but okay. I don't know all of them.
Well, it's okay. There was a tag team, and they had these. They would come out, and they'd have their tongues, like, different colors, and they would have these shoulder pads with spikes on them. So my mom found an old pair of shoulder pads and helped me super glue spikes on them. And I got gushers and got my tongue a different color. And their tagline is, they'd scream, "What a rush." And so whenever I'd ring a doorbell, I'd scream that. And I'd have my spikes on my shoulder pads. That was by far and away, I thought I was Legion of Doom that Halloween. It was awesome.
So you weren't there wasn't a specific one you were?
No. I was Hawk. I mean, you could be Animal or Hawk. Either one. Didn't matter to me.
Okay.
I was the Legion of Doom.
When you said wrestling, I was like, okay, Hulk?
No, I was a little more deep track than Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
I got NWA a little bit. Yeah. So anyway, Legion of Doom was by far and I felt like, not to be biased, but I felt like I pulled it off pretty well.
Okay. And the other one is that I kind of thought of for spooky season was, what was your first horror movie? And I have three in mind. I'll explain why. My earliest horror movie memory, and I didn't really watch it, but it was The Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Great movie. I love it.
Yep.
But when you're 3, 4, however old I was, and you see the part where they first show their vampires, it scares the hell out of you.
And I know the scene you're talking about.
And I don't remember this, but my parents said I also watched the TV movie It with them and had no issue.
And you didn't?
Yeah, go figure.
I would.
But, my first horror movie that I truly remember watching all the way through was the original Universal horror Dracula.
Ah, yes.
Because my dad was all about showing me those, Frankenstein, Dracula. He wasn't really a big mummy person, but also the Wolfman with Lon Chaney. Really great transformation scene. And, those were my first horror movies that I remember. So that's why I had three.
And each one of those I've seen those, and those would scare me as a kid. Mine, by far and away... My parents would never let me watch it. I went to a friend's house and watched it. Nightmare on Elm Street scared me to death. I slept outside of my parents, like right outside their bedroom, like and in the doorway for like 2 weeks after that, and had to come clean to them that I watched it.
Well, at least you weren't like the kids in the movie and you just couldn't sleep.
That's right. Good point. But holy Toledo, that scared me to death.
Was it the scene where he first arrives and he's scratching, the fence with his claws?
That was terrifying. Even more terrifying was the first time you saw him in the boiler room.
Ooh. Oh, with his just, like, charred, bloodied face.
Yeah, from that point on, I don't know if I watched another, like, horror scary movie probably until I was in my 20s.
So I've told people this before. I'm like, out of all the horror icons, the only one to never be ever really not continue or necessarily be remade, even though they technically remade it once, was, you know, Freddy Krueger.
That's right. Yep.
Because he was just so good in that.
He was. Oh, boy. Yeah.
And I think it helps because I remember, I think Wes Craven, the director and writer, said he was inspired by, like, the neighborhood creep.
I think I'd heard that too. That's right.
And I'm like, nothing works better in horror than when it's inspired by a real horror.
That's right. Oh man. That shows how today's movies are. I don't think if like you showed it to a kid today, it probably wouldn't even register it as being scary.
Have you heard what scares kids now?
No.
What any scary movies?
I've seen some like, so my daughter's 9 and yeah. We'll be watching TV and like we do a streaming service. And so we'll watch it and they will show, you know, like movie trailers and things like that. And there's some on there that like they're scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it terrifies her. And she just, you know, sees like a 30-second little blip of a movie. And I couldn't imagine watching a full movie on something like that.
Well, I mean, it's because as a kid, at least when I was a kid, you would go to the video store and you would kind of peruse the section and go, all the covers look freaky. And
yeah.
But now you have streaming and it'll show you 30 seconds of that freaky instead of, you know, just seeing the cover and your mind does all the work.
Well, then that's what surprised me. You'll be watching TV at 5 o'clock in the evening, like watching a family television show. And one of those comes on. Maybe I never paid attention when I was a kid, but it seems like that's an odd time to show one of those things.
Yeah, I see. My memory of commercials as a kid is all like the taglines from like the toy commercials. I don't remember the trailers as much for movies.
Yep.
So maybe they were. I don't know. Well, as always, great talking to you.
Jeremy, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.